Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, broadcasting from our basement out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of the Christian influence in the Western world. And that is, most Christians have a hard time thinking biblically about things and understanding the issues from a distinctively biblical point of view because there is so much confusion around it. Steve Vaughn in studio with me right now. Steve, Christians need to think clearly about things like white privilege, racism, social justice, and I'm sure you're aware of all of the other hot-button politically incorrect or politically correct issues of the day. Confusion reigns in all of this, though. The devil jumps in, gives you 50 ways to think about things wrongly, and that leads to division, cultural divisions, divisions within the church. People aren't defining things rightly. People aren't thinking biblically. People are giving way to all of these preconceived ideas that do not have any basis or any strong basis in a rational way of thinking about anything or a biblical way of thinking about things. And so here we are, Kevin Hart is in trouble. Here this guy threw a Cowboys and Indians party for his one-year-old son's birthday party. He's an African-American comedian and actor. I wasn't aware of who he was until I did a search for Kevin Hart, but he's in trouble. He's in trouble with the politically correct crowd because he threw this party.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, he is an African-American, so people are really upset about him throwing a Cowboys and Indians, and they're saying, well, you know, why not masters and slaves, and why not something
else
like that?
Yeah. They are, exactly. And the point is, he dressed up his little boy as a cowboy, and other came dressed up as Indians, and Facebook lit up with all kinds of negative comments on Kev.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, maybe it's because his name's Kevin.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Yeah, Kevins have a tendency to have problems.
Have troubles, yes. Well, here's a couple of Facebook comments. Throwing a Cowboys and Indians birthday party on Thanksgiving celebrates genocide, white supremacy, and slavery. Some of you may be shocked by these comments. You weren't aware that there is controversy on these things. And we're going to get into this on this edition of the program. We're going to talk about cultural appropriation and whether American girls should wear kimonos or whether jazz musicians should dress up in a mohawk hairstyle. That next on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we discuss the sensitivities of the left and the sensitivities of minorities. And today, I think we have to be careful as Christians to draw these distinctions carefully, to define our terms carefully, and to bring a biblical perspective on these things. Because remember, the devil is confusing us. He's always confusing us. And so now this cultural appropriation apparently is the adoption of elements by a minority culture or of a minority culture by members of the dominant culture. Often the original meaning of these cultural elements apparently is lost or distorted, and such displays are often viewed as disrespectful or even as a form of desecration by members of the originating culture. And examples of that might be Hudson Taylor dressing up like a Chinese, except apparently it's okay if you're in the dominant culture. See, he's the minority in the dominant culture dressing up as the dominant culture. And so what Hudson Taylor did would be more appropriate, apparently, than what others would do if you were members of the dominant culture dressing up and using the cultural forms of the minority culture, as in American girls wearing kimonos or white colonials wearing Indian headdresses. American soldiers appropriated the Mohawk hairstyle, the Native American tribe in World War II. And of course, some of the 1980s punk subculture picked up the Mohawk hairstyle in the 1980s. That all is politically incorrect. That is cultural misappropriation. And there's other examples as well, as in today in the 2000s, it became popular to get tribal tattoos appropriated from African and Polynesian cultures, as well as earlobe piercings known as flesh tunnels, famously associated with the Buddha. So on it goes.
So would it have been okay then? So I'm just trying to get this figured out. Had Kevin Hart's, all of his African-American friends and family dressed up as the cowboys and all the white people dressed up as the Indians, would that have, because then you've got the minority culture dressing up as the dominant culture and the...
Well, there was no problem in minority culture dressing up as the dominant culture, as in Kevin Hart's son was dressed up as a little cowboy.
Right.
But it's when the whites dress up as the Indians, because the whites are perceived as the dominant culture, dressing up as the minority in their dress is okay. Considered an insult to the minority culture. Do you get it?
Okay. No, but
okay. So, well, I'm trying to help here.
So they all needed to dress up as cowboys or all dress up as...
If they all dressed up as cowboys, it would have been fine.
Okay.
Including, I think, the African Americans. I think it's okay if they dress up as cowboys as well.
So if the minority culture dresses up as the dominant culture,
yes,
it's okay.
Yes, then it's okay. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, I think I have it.
You have it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody has to dress up as cowboys.
Yeah. Or if they're Native Americans, they can dress up as Native
cowboys
Americans.
Cowboys or Indians.
Now, either way. They could go either way.
Okay.
That's right.
But the dominant culture can only dress up as the dominant culture.
That's right.
Not as the
minority culture. You got it. You're getting it. Okay. Yes, that's the cultural appropriation issue. And friends, let's analyze this from a biblical perspective.
Good,
so here we go.
From a cultural perspective, I'm still confused.
You're going to be confused, yes. But here, let's analyze this. Why do people respond like this? Why are people so sensitive to cultural appropriation or misappropriation? The world makes a huge deal out of symbols, dress, and music. And that's the bottom line. Worldly people, that is people who think like the world. And by the way, many Christians think worldly as well.
Oh, yeah.
The world makes a huge deal out of symbols, dress, and music. These things are meant to create their communities and to segregate their communities from other communities. Because remember, the world is about division. The world is about dividing. The world is about separating themselves from others. The world is also fixated on externals because the heart doesn't matter, especially when it comes to their religions. Their religions, the worldly religions, are what the Bible calls the stoike kosmo. You'll find that in Galatians and Colossians. Paul uses that as the elements of the world or the religious elements of the world. The stoike kosmo of the world is always focused on the taste not, touch not, handle not. It's always focused on the externals, symbols, dress, and music. The world is all about dress standards and cultural standards. And the question is always, do you submit to the cultural fads of the day? That's the big deal. You know, in 1584... I touch on this in Taking the World for Jesus. I talk about the Chinese and how they came about with the pigtail and the special dress. In 1584, China enforced the pigtail tied up in the bun and a certain clothing style. And if there were groups or tribes or cities or villages that refused to conform to the dress style, they killed them. They massacred them in bloody pogroms. Hundreds of thousands of people would not submit to the Manchu cultural standards. Villages were burned to the ground. Cities were burned to the ground. Women and children massacred by the hundreds of thousands. That was in the 16th century. Now you know why that dress style was so important to the Chinese by the time that Hudson Taylor made it there in the 19th century.
That seems... maybe excessive?
You would think it would be excessive, yes. But they equate their religion and their identity, They equate their identity to their external cultural standards. This is what the worldly religions do. And, you know, we can all fall into this. You know, take a guy with a beard and long hair tied up in a ponytail, something like that. You know, we could get fixated on, I can get fixated on that hairstyle. He could get fixated on his own hairstyle. And we could wind up not really having fellowship. You know, and I know Christians. There have been Christians, Christian friends of mine who have, you know, kind of the long hair, beard thing, and maybe even a ponytail around to kind of keep the hair out of his face while he runs off into battle with his kilt on or whatever it is, right? I don't know these people who fight the Scottish wars in the Highlands, but, you know, it can be very, very easy for anybody to get fixated on the man's hair. The man himself may become fixated on his hair. I may become fixated on his hair. But either way, we are falling into the trap of focusing on the externals, which is what humans tend to do. Now, the biblical principle is a man should not have a coma. What is a coma? A coma is simply the feminine word for hair. It does not refer to long hair. I realize it's translated that in certain versions.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Greek, friends, it's a woman's hairstyle. A man is not to have a woman's hairstyle. He's not to look like a woman. That's very strong, and it's strongly presented in Old Testament and New Testament alike. A man is not to appear as a woman. Now, of course, the modern man, the modern feminized man, is looking like a woman more and more by his hairstyle, by his lack of facial hair, by his
man bun,
by his well, you name it. Yeah. It's easy for a man to dress up like a woman these days.
Oh yeah,
he can walk like a woman, he can talk like a woman, he can be feminized. This is very, very popular among pagan cultures, and certainly among the post-Christian culture of the modern day. But the Word of God isn't super, super narrow on the way that a man is to appear. And so man's religions tend to get very externalized, and the cultural symbols hold almost a religious significance to them. But for Christians, the cultural accoutrements are not all that important. Our sacraments are simple. Think about it. We baptize with water, and we use bread and wine at the Lord's table. That's it. Now, you know, do we do these kinds of things in real life? Yes, we take baths every day. Sometimes we take baths in the bathtub if we're Baptists, or showers if we're Presbyterians. But either way, we clean up. We do this on a regular basis. So to produce a sacrament where somebody is taking a bath is a very universal sign that it should not be strange in the eyes of anybody. Same thing for drinking the wine and eating the bread. That's some of the most basic stuff that consists of a meal in the history of the world. Okay, so the biblical sacraments, very, very simple, very simple. And of course, Christ crosses all cultural boundaries. And we see no real need to create cultural boundaries by our cultural accoutrements. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free when it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anytime a church says, well, your church is a homeschooling church, your church is a church that focuses on this or that, you know, you're more into the corporate work, or you're more into the entrepreneurial way of life, or you guys are more country people, you guys are more city people, you guys focus more on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, we focus on the Hispanics. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and yet when you bring up things like baptism and communion, what do we tend to divide on?
Oh, we want to divide on how much water to use in a baptism and whether to use wine or grape juice at the table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we incidentally use both because we don't want anybody to get fixated on one element or the other. We want to be sure that we put a kibosh on that. And, of course, I have baptized people with pouring, sprinkling, dunking, river baptisms, you name it. I've done it. We use two hydrogens, one oxygen, well stirred.
Not shaken.
But this fixation on externals is what the religions of the world
always want to fall back into, Steve.
And they want division.
And they will divide on it.
Satan wants division in the church.
Absolutely. All right, number two, the cultural symbols often really do have a pagan religious significance to it. And so that's the second thing Christians have to remember. And so as Christians, this becomes food offered to idols. And 1 Corinthians 10 says, be careful about taking food offered to idols. If others, that is those around you, hold a religious significance to that particular food or to that particular cultural symbol. So we're to be careful with that. For example, as Christians, we cannot join with the Japanese who want to pay religious respects to their dead ancestors at graveyards. For example, my wife and I went to visit her relatives in Kagoshima on the southern tip of Kyushu. And they wanted to be sure that they went off to the graveyard to pay their due respects to their dead ancestors and to do it by religious rites. We stayed in the car.
Yeah.
We didn't get out. We didn't go to the graveyards or to the gravestones. We were very careful not to give any kind of implicit endorsement upon the religious meaning to the symbols that were involved in that activity. So again, we need to be careful. As Christians, we don't support implicitly or explicitly the idolatry of the world. That's why we're careful about not attending homosexual weddings and so forth. If we are to give any kind of implicit or explicit endorsement of the pagan ritual. So if the significance is still strong in the minds of the culture, then we can't participate in it. And missionaries should really intend to put the idol manufacturers out of business. And we might even put the Indian headdress manufacturers out of business if the cultural symbols hold some significance that declares allegiance to a false god. Are you with me here? Now, yeah. I'm not saying it does, but if it did, if the Indian headdresses gave some religious significance to their false religion and their idols, then we're going to do our best to put them out of business by the preaching of the gospel. And of course, there might be a riot in Ephesus if that happens, but Christians are going to go and cast down the idols and present a different worldview and call people to repentance and to serve and to worship the true and living God against the idolatries of these false religions. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, there are a few cultural symbols that hold a cross-cultural, cross-national, cross-age significance, and the Bible forbids these things. We have these examples in Leviticus 19, and these again have been referred to in Acts chapter 15, where the apostles come together and say, you know, we need to abide by the moral laws of the Old Testament and by the laws that refer to these universal cross-cultural pagan rituals, including the consumption of blood. And that is referred to in Acts 15. We're going to continue to teach the churches not to consume blood according to the injunction found in Leviticus 19. You shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall you use enchantment or observe times. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a prostitute, lest the land fall into whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So now today's apostate Christian culture seems to be okay with daughters prostituting themselves to guys at the local college, vampirism, drinking blood with the Twilight movies, and the strangest body mutilations you can think of. So a Christian daughter comes home with transdermal implants on her forehead or chest or arms, multiple piercings in her eyebrows, lips, nose, tongue, belly button, private parts. She's drinking blood with the Twilight movies, but it's all okay because Acts 15 doesn't count for the New Testament church. Okay, now you've heard it before.
Oh, yeah.
But friends, hey, open your eyes, open your ears to what the Word of God says. Acts 15, now it does not come back and say we are subservient to all the food laws and all the ceremonial laws, but it does refer to these pagan approaches and practices that are cross-cultural, cross-generational, and they come out again and again. The Bible has something to say about these pagan practices, and you can read about it in Leviticus chapter 19 or in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, what the real Jesus says about pop culture. Now, before we're done with the program, Steve, we've still got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
Let's talk about cowboys and Indians. We did the broad cultural thing, right? And yes. I hope people get something of the principles relating to how we look at these cultural accoutrements, whether it be Indian headdresses or the kimonos or the Manchu hairstyle or whatever it is.
Yeah. And what it comes down to is not externals, but as you said, it's a matter of the heart.
The primary thing is the heart. Now, are there some cultural issues that are of importance? Apparently, God doesn't want us to radically mar our bodies by these body mutilations that were common for the pagans.
Yeah.
And so there are just a few rules, but not very many. But generally speaking, yes, our faith isn't focused on externals. It's focused on the heart.
Yeah.
And whether we're loving one another, loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, that's what matters more than anything else. But let's talk about cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
Okay. Should our little boys and little girls be playing cowboys and Indians? Let's examine that game where our little boys like to reenact the wars between the cowboys and the Indians. Because I think that's it. I don't think they just dress up. They usually wind up shooting at each other. Yeah. Well, boys are always shooting at each other anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so that's a given. They're going to shoot at each other no matter what.
Yeah. We played bow and arrow tag when I was, you know, a kid. There were suction cup arrows.
What are we talking about? Yeah. You're still playing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. So a couple things about cowboys and Indians. I think we have to think about this carefully. We need to be careful that we don't oversimplify historical problems for children. As in, all Indians are bad guys. All cowboys are good guys.
Right.
And so that's number one. Let's be very, very careful with that. Because, hey, that kind of thing can happen. Stereotyping can happen. And sometimes it's the liberals who are perhaps a little more sensitive to this than the conservatives. But either way, as Christians, we should be careful that we stick to the truth and the historical truth of these things. And that's why I've been as careful as I can in presenting the truth about America and American God's providence, especially as we work through Andrew Jackson's breaking of the treaties with the Cherokees and the Creeks, and as we work through the Sand Creek Massacre and all the rest. Hey, there are some shameful elements to history. Hey, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, okay?
Yeah.
Let's remember that man is depraved. It's not just the Indians depraved either. It's you know, this is universal in terms of who has been afflicted by the depravity of sin and the corruption of the human heart. Hey, guys, it's all of us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So historically, American soldiers were not always in the right when they went after the American Indians. The Sand Creek Massacre is an example where they slaughtered women and children led by that bad guy, Chivington. Chivington was a wretch to the core. And I talk about Chivington in American God's Providence. People need to know the story of Chivington and the Sand Creek Massacre. Come on, let's be sure we're communicating the right history to our kids. And as I mentioned, Andrew Jackson did break those treaties with the Creeks and the others. The Native Americans who migrated here before the Europeans migrated here were also cruel. Okay? I mean, they were not these pure, wonderful people. They practiced human sacrifice, cannibalism, tribal warfare, scalping, this kind of thing. Everybody knows. All historians, at least accurate historians, will tell you that they had their issues too. Both sides broke treaties, not just Andrew Jackson, but both sides would break treaties. People love to take sides in these wars of the tribes as if one side is always right, the other side's always wrong. And realistically, friends, we're dealing with sinners here who break God's laws. They deal with vengefulness. Mountain men like Kit Carson tended to be vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
There were some stories about Kit Carson that were not very nice. Now, I think he was repentant towards the end of his life, but he tended to be vengeful. I've read a couple of biographies of Kit Carson. Jedediah Smith was a solid Christian, fair-minded, thoughtful, kind, careful in his dealings with the Indians. So there were some good guys. There were some bad guys, even amongst the cowboys or the mountain men. Cowboys were not all good guys. Prostitution was very big in the Western states. So Christian parents, instead of focusing on the cowboys, here's one thing you could do. Speak of the missionaries with your kids. Samuel Worcester is one of my favorite missionaries from all of American history. He worked with the Cherokees and the Creeks. He defended them all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, trying to prevent the Trail of Tears. I think people need to know this stuff.
Yeah.
That's why we tell that story in Taking the World for Jesus. And I'd recommend that you give your children the real story of history. give them Taking the World for Jesus. Tell them the story of Samuel Worcester. You say, well, he's not a cowboy. He's not an Indian. Yeah, he's a missionary. Okay? He served Jesus. So read the story of this wonderful man, Samuel Worcester, who was put in jail in slave labor himself for 4 years because he opposed the Georgian legislature and tried to defend the Creeks and the Cherokees and eventually won his case at the Supreme Court of the United States. Only Andrew Jackson would not back it up. Okay, so tell your children the story of Samuel Worcester. Tell your children the story of the Whitmans who were martyred as missionaries up in Oregon State in the 1890s. You know, thankfully, Jesus came to break down cultural walls of partition among us, not to create ghettos and Darwinist racist views of other cultures and so forth. Jesus came to break down the cultural walls of partition between us. Praise God for that. He reconciled us with himself through the sacrifice of his own body on the cross in order that he might also break down those middle walls of partition between each other. So again, back to cowboys and Indians. I haven't answered the question yet.
No, you haven't.
So, Steve, how do we deal with this? Well, again, I'm not crazy about pitting cultural groups against each other in mock battles, but boys like to fight. So we still got to deal with this competition, these mock battles.
Without feminizing the boys.
Without feminizing the boys. Thank yes. you. Well, now think about this biblically, guys. Christian parents listening to the program right now, think about a right biblical approach to civil government. Let's face it, that would be defense and justice. And if we're looking at national defense, you're looking at those who invade a country and those who defend their country. That would be an appropriate biblical war. That's just war. So have your children rooted and grounded in a proper conception of just war. What is just war? Those who invade your land should be fought off by those who defend the land.
Yeah.
So why not put it in biblical categories? That's all I'm asking for. Biblical categories. Set your kids up with the invaders and defenders, the Vikings and the Wessex Englanders defending their land around the time of King Alfred. I have to go back to roughly the 9th century to find a just war. But
yeah.
No, I'm sure there's been others. I'm sure there's been other just wars in history. But friends, at the very least, talk about defenders and invaders. Or here's another one. Bad guys, good guys, cattle rustlers and the cowboys.
Yeah.
Okay. Who would be the good guys here?
That would be the cowboys.
Yeah. And who would be the bad guys?
The cattle rustlers.
You got it. Now, how'd you get it? Why? Because, well, it's pretty well clearly defined.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. Well, let's wrap up the program right there. There's so much more to say. Obviously, we have some work to do to continue to disciple the nations and to disciple the cultures and to preach the word of God, which brings down the boundaries between the cultures. And especially now, as we are dealing with a significant breakdown in unity between cultures in this country and in other countries like South Africa and such, that's because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to come in its full force. There needs to be a massive revival going on in every single church in which the cultural boundaries break down and we find ourselves at peace between God and man and between each other because Jesus breaks down the middle walls of partition between us and because we all center around the cross of Jesus Christ, bow ourselves to the ground and cry out together, God have mercy on us poor sinners. We are all sinners before a righteous and a holy God, and we don't need to be holding grudges against each other because God's got the big grudge against us, and that grudge comes down through the wonderful intervention of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who shed his blood in order that we might have peace with God and have peace with one another and forgive each other because we have been forgiven by God himself. That, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to some of the resources we've talked about when it comes to culture. I would encourage you to the tattoo Jesus. When it comes to the history of America, read America and God's Providence to get a fairly accurate portrayal. Perhaps we could do a better job, but we've done the best we can to bring an accurate portrayal of the Christian influence in America and the rise and fall of a Christian republic. It is the story of America. It's called America and God's Providence, just released as part of the Generations Offerings. All available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.